To will. Historical note. In the 1580s, a couple living on Henley Street, Stratford, had three children, Susanna, then Hamnet and Judith, who were twins. The boy, Hamnet, died in 1596, aged 11. 4 years or so later, the father wrote a play called Hamlet. 1. He is dead and gone, lady. He is dead and gone. At his head, a grass-green turf. At his heels, a stone. Hamlet. Act 4, Scene 5. Hamnet and Hamlet are in fact the same name, entirely interchangeable in Stratford records in the late 16th and early 17th centuries. Stephen Greenblatt, The Death of Hamnet and the Making of Hamlet, New York Review of Books, October 21st, 2004. A boy is coming down a flight of stairs. The passage is narrow and twists back on itself. He takes each step slowly, sliding himself along the wall, his boots meeting each tread with a thud. Near the bottom, he pauses for a moment, looking back the way he has come. Then, suddenly resolute, he leaps the final three stairs, as is his habit. He stumbles as he lands, falling to his knees on the flagstone floor. It is a close, windless day in late summer, and the downstairs room is slashed by long strips of light. The sun glowers at him from outside, the windows latticed slabs of yellow, set into the plaster. He gets up, rubbing his legs. He looks one way, up the stairs. He looks the other, unable to decide which way he should turn. The room is empty, the fire ruminating in its grate, orange embers below soft, spiralling smoke. His injured kneecaps throb in time with his heartbeat. He stands with one hand resting on the latch of the door to the stairs, the scuffed leather tip of his boot raised, poised for motion, for flight. His hair, light-coloured, almost gold, rises up from his brow in tufts. There is no one here. He sighs, drawing in the warm, dusty air, and moves through the room, out of the front door, and onto the street. The noise of barrows, horses, vendors, people calling to each other, a man hurling a sack from an upper window, doesn't reach him. He wanders along the front of the house and into the neighbouring doorway. The smell of his grandparents' home is always the same, a mix of wood smoke, polish, leather, wool. It is similar yet indefinably different from the adjoining two-roomed apartment, built by his grandfather in a narrow gap next to the larger house, where he lives with his mother and sisters. Sometimes he cannot understand why this might be. The two dwellings are, after all, separated by only a thin, wattled wall, but the air in each place is of a different ilk, a different scent, a different temperature. This house whistles with drafts and eddies of air, with the tapping and hammering of his grandfather's workshop, with the raps and calls of customers at the window, with the noise and welter of the courtyard out the back, with the sound of his uncles coming and going. But not today. The boy stands in the passageway, listening for signs of occupation. He can see from here that the workshop, to his right, is empty, the stools at the benches vacant, the tools idle on the counters, a tray of abandoned gloves, like handprints, left out for all to see. The vending window is shut and bolted tight. There is no one in the dining hall to his left. A stack of napkins is piled on the long table, an unlit candle, a heap of feathers. Nothing more.